Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Today on PTIB, I bring two of my broadcast partners to the table who both have very important reports. First, John Rood comes with his European Union update, the European Union, a key region to watch as it relates to Bible prophecy. Then Dr. Don DeYoung will come to explain space junk, and he'll also talk about stars falling from heaven to earth during the tribulation period, which Don says will be a literal event. John first and Don then come to the broadcast table in a moment. Let me remind you, here on PTIB, we get the information and post it on our website, prophecytoday.com. Prophecytoday.com is a full-service website. We look at current events in light of biblical prophecy, and then we have a number of resources that will assist you in your study of the prophetic Word of God. They can be found in my prophecy bookstore, which is located on my website, prophecytoday.com. Well, right now we go to a different region of the world, the European Union. We're talking with John Rood, who is the man who covers that portion of the world for us, a key location because it has great prophetic significance. Well, Iran is very interestingly trying to get back in the deal with the United States, that a nuclear weapons deal between the United States and other peoples, other nations of the world. But I understand from a recent report on European intelligence agencies that Iran was seeking that information, the technology, back in 2020. Give us an update.
The European intelligence agency, it's Netherlands, Sweden, and Germany, all of them have independently come up with multiple attempts for Iran to acquire materials that are used exclusively for nuclear weapons programs. The reports are very strong, and it puts Iran in with other countries that have tried similar things. To me, it's not a surprise that Iran has sought nuclear weapons. I think that's pretty much a given. But this brings the question to me, if the intelligence agencies have mentioned this in particular, how much is there that we don't know? I imagine it would be quite a bit.
John, I want to ask you an opinion question, if you will. Europe seems to be leaderless, and they seem to be all process and little substance. Is that how you would describe Europe today?
Oh, absolutely. This is the problem, that in a non-democratic formation of the government, there tries to be an appearance of democracy. And having 27 member nations, it's just completely diluted. No one is really quite the head in the sense that we have, you know, a head of state. And so Henry Kissinger, this is the famous line when he was U.S. Secretary of State, and it will come up again, but he said, who do I call when I want to speak to Europe? The way Europe is set up right now with the EU, there's about 10 presidents, you could even say 11 presidents of various institutions, and that doesn't even include the heads of state of the 27 member nations. So they have been very innocuous, and attention has been drawn to this conference on the future of Europe. It's a one-year project. This has been done before to try to adopt the European Constitution. They say we're going to have a democratic forum and so forth, and all the people will contribute. But it has no power behind it whatsoever, completely powerless. And so now this conference doesn't even really have a point, but it's to appear open. So the question still remains, who to talk to when you speak to Europe? It's a setup that doesn't actually have one direct head. And, you know, as we see the EU progress, we see that this is actually used in a reasoning that could show and go lead towards a much, much stronger central government and central leader to stop this. They know this is their weakness.
Tell you what, John, since both of us are prophecy teachers and students, we can understand that there is a leader coming called the Antichrist. He will pull the European Union together and bring it about as the revival of the old Roman Empire. That's absolute because it's God's word. Well, one more item I want to cover with you. Looks like the European Union is endorsing larvae to eat, and they say it's an environmental benefit. Have you had a larva burger lately, John?
No, I actually, when I've been in countries that serve it, I generally pass. But beetles look like they could come on the menu in the European Union. You know, the thought behind this is insects are an alternate source of protein. You can have a beetle shake or beetle burgers. And the idea is that this is, you know, to offset the rising cost of animal produce and environment. So there appears to be some type of lobbying measure, and this is not the only one. There's crickets, locusts, and grasshoppers that are in line to have applications and be approved. So the EU has some misdirection in their bureaucracy, and so they want to take a stand on eating beetles. People just see how ludicrous this has become.
Absolutely. I'm going to be like you. I'm going to pass on any of that in my menu. John Rood, the man who covers the European Union for us. John, thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you. My pleasure, Jimmy.
Very important update for the European Union. Their political activities really set the stage for the prophetic scenario found in God's Word for the European Union, which I do believe, and John does as well, would be the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire. Well, one of my favorite guests to be able to interview, a broadcast partner par excellent, is Dr. Don DeYoung. He's a scientist and astronomer, written a book on astronomy. Write us or contact us at Prophecy Today. We have it available. Tell us that you want the book on astronomy, Astronomy in the Bible, by Dr. Don DeYoung. Don is on the road. He's out in Denver, Colorado. He's speaking to a group that is very interested in creation. What an opportunity for Don to be able to address this group, and we're excited for Don's opportunities as well. Don, you can retire, but that doesn't shut a preacher down, does it?
Well, retirement just opens up new frontiers, new opportunities.
Don, the last couple of days, in fact, even for over a week, we've been hearing about space junk, especially in light of the Chinese booster rocket. First of all, give me a definition, and our friends listening in, what is the definition of space junk?
Jimmy, during the space age, we've inserted a lot of equipment, a lot of material into Earth orbit. Sometimes we use booster rockets to help get satellites up. And then you have leftover parts, the lower parts of rockets or maybe satellites that have no longer use. And so these objects are circling the Earth, but they do catch the top of our atmosphere, which puts a drag on them. And sooner or later, gravity takes over. They head back toward the surface of the Earth. This Chinese debris is unusual in that it's a large section of rocket. Now, we've sent some large things up into space as well, but we usually steer what's left over so that it'll land in the water.
Don, how big of a problem is this space junk?
Well, things are not getting any simpler as we continue with space development. There have been some efforts to somehow vacuum sweep up the debris that's in space, and we've made a little progress there. But also new pieces keep accumulating. Some satellites, for instance, have exploded or disintegrated, and suddenly you have hundreds of shards of material in orbit. Now, there is a lot of room up there, but it's getting more and more dense with these pieces. The space station, for instance, they keep track of these fragments, and once in a while have to steer out of the way of one of these objects. They're all in orbit around the Earth, some moving very rapidly. So it is a problem as we are, in a way, polluting our near-Earth space environment.
Talk to me. You mentioned, I think, the word sweep up. What is that? Is that the way that they could take care of this whole situation and be able to change it before there's some real problems out there?
That would be a way to contain some pieces, even maybe to take these shards of material and re-steer them so that they would burn up more quickly in the Earth's atmosphere. But again, there are so many pieces and they're still accumulating. It's almost a losing battle. But there are efforts underway to, better late than never, try to contain this debris that we put in space.
Speaking of space junk, I don't know that we could actually refer to what's going to happen according to the prophecy in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 13, when the stars will fall out of heaven during the seven-year tribulation period. But do you think that is literal, or is the Lord speaking figuratively or apocalyptically as he relates that particular prophecy?
Well, Jimmy, I would take those end-time events as certainly literal. And, you know, when you have objects falling from the sky much larger than any of our space debris, whether it's a comet or an asteroid, these are hundreds of times larger than any of our Earth satellites. So when these things fall, definitely major changes in the heavens, in the sky, a whole new level of magnitude. As Scripture says, the stars fall, a star being any of these natural objects in the sky. Definitely end-time events of major proportions.
I noticed as I was preparing for my conversation with you and looking at prophecy, I also read Revelation 8, verse 10. It talks about a star called Wormwood. It's going to fall out of the heavenlies. It's going to make all the waters bitter, or many of the waters on the earth. Is that a supernatural event or some type of a star? Why is it called Wormwood? What is that all about?
Well, we certainly have not identified exactly what Wormwood is. That name has some roots with a bitter-type plant. But I would expect, since God has named and numbered every star, every object in space, that may be assigned to one of these objects, which definitely will fall. It is interesting that it poisons the water and the streams when it hits the earth. And likewise, you know, the earth is 70% covered with water, so even this Chinese booster could well hit the water. I guess I would take the current events with our own space objects as object lessons of what is coming on a much larger scale.
Wow, that's a great thought, realizing that what's happening in the skies over the earth, maybe in the next couple of days, a precursor to the prophetic truth found in God's Word. But it is amazing. I love what you just said. God has named every star, and that's why looking up into the heavenlies shows us the glory of the Lord, isn't it?
It certainly does, Jimmy. It puts us in our place. You know, we've named a few stars, and we all have trouble with names, but God keeps track of everything in the wide open space.
And I think you mentioned to me earlier, at one time in one of our conversations, 100 billion stars in our galaxy, and about that many galaxies as well in the universe out there. The Lord is amazing. He is the creator, and it's exciting to be able to look up and see his glory. Don, thank you for introducing me to that particular activity, but thank you for being available all the time for us here on Prophecy Today to give us great insight into the heavenlies. Have a great sojourn there in Denver. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Two great reports from two of my broadcast partners. John Rood with the European Union Update, which is a key region to watch in these the last days. And Dr. Don DeYoung reporting on space junk and the literal fulfillment of stars falling to Earth during the tribulation period. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time as we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy. prophecy.